Well, chapter 4 will be our first reading. John chapter 4 and verse 45. Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way, and as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, He didn't amend. Begin to amend. Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. The next chapter, verse 24. Verily, verily, it's true, it's true. I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John chapter 20. In this chapter, John gives us the closing of his gospel. The next chapter is actually an epilogue. But here is his conclusion in verse 30. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Primarily, he has given 7 signs in this book, but there were many others. But John tells us why he selected these. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Matthew wrote a gospel. Mark, Luke, John wrote a gospel. And there are some that have questioned, are there then 4 different gospels? No, there is 1 gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. But as a home would have 4 walls, so the gospel has 4 walls that are perfectly complementary. They join perfectly together. They form a solid structure. And the gospel was addressing every mind in the world that then was. When the Lord Jesus was crucified, perhaps you'll remember that the accusation written over him was written in language of Hebrew and Greek and Latin. The Hebrew mind was the mind addressed by Matthew in his gospel. The Latin mind was the mind addressed by Mark in his gospel. The Greek mind, for Luke himself was a Greek, was the mind that was addressed by Luke in his gospel. Well, you say that leaves us 1 more gospel. And to whom is that gospel addressed? The first 3 gospels stood for a number of years, written and passed around. But the decades passed until finally the gospel had gone beyond the Jews. That's where the book of Acts begins. The gospel had gone beyond Cornelius and the Latin mind, where the gospel, the book of Acts continues. And it had reached to the Greek world, where the rest of the book of Acts tells us the story. And finally, John tells us, this gospel is going to the world. And John writes his gospel for the world. He starts by telling us that the subject of the gospel is a world God. He created all. And he tells us he came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. This is the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He is a world God. He is the Savior of the world. And the message is addressed to the world, to its farthest bounds. Merle Tenney, as he writes his book about the Gospel of John, entitled that book, The Gospel of Belief. John tells us at the end of the gospel, it is for this reason he wrote, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Let us sound just at the present moment the note that our brother has mentioned just as he sat down this evening, that God's salvation is by faith alone. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John says, salvation and eternal blessings from God come solely on the basis of faith. Works do not bring men and women into heaven. Church membership, baptism, and 1,000 things that men do will never procure eternal salvation. But let us make it clear tonight, the same faith that Luther lived and died for, and the faith that men and women have lived and died for down through the centuries, salvation is by faith alone. John, when he writes his gospel, bases his message, his gospel writing, on 7 pegs, 7 signs that the Lord Jesus did. And John is telling us very clearly in the signs that he chooses that the man who performed these miracles is God and could be none less than God himself. But John brings a double layer, if I may put it that way, in his gospel, because John illustrates for us physical truth and the power of the Lord Jesus in physical things. And then he says, now that actually is an illustration of his power in spiritual things. So there are physical miracles that tell us of his power to perform spiritual miracles. And there are principles in those physical miracles that are worked out in the great realm of physical and spiritual blessing that the Lord Jesus came to give. Faith, the basis of blessing. The power he manifested as God in the physical realm, the same power that brings spiritual blessings to men. His word is the means by which he communicated physical blessings. His word is the power by which he communicates spiritual blessings. If you ever receive spiritual blessings from the Lord Jesus, you will receive it through his word. He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed out of death into life. Let me then notice with you in John's gospel, first of all, the unique well-being that the Lord Jesus brought. God comes to this world incarnate with a deep concern for men's well-being. And you will find in the miracles the Lord Jesus did, the telling out of God's concern for men. But let me just, will you just let me do it this way? Let me just review for you the 7 miracles that the Lord Jesus performed and just bring to you 1 touch from each miracle to show you tonight afresh that the man that did this could be none less than God. First miracle, he turns water to wine, and a process that takes time to accomplish. He transcends time. The 2nd miracle, which we have read in John chapter 4, a man's son is 40 kilometers down the road, and the Lord Jesus speaks here, and disease responds 40 kilometers down the road. He transcends distance. In the next chapter, there's a man who is longing for healing and for someone to remedy his palsy, and the Lord Jesus transcends disease. as he tells that man to rise and take up his bed and walk. In chapter 6, where he feeds 5,000, he transcends matter. He just takes 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. No problem to him. Matter simply multiplies in his hand to feed 5,000 beside women and children. You find him transcending the laws of nature as he's walking on the sea in the middle of John chapter 6. You'll find him speaking in John chapter 9 and what has happened from birth. And no one has ever been able to give sight to a man blind from birth. He gives sight to a man blind from birth. And finally in chapter 11, he stands by a grave. And a man is in the grave and his body has begun to go to corruption. He speaks, and from that grave there comes a man living and whole. He is God. What he did transcends nature. And there is not another that could do one of the miracles of Jesus of Nazareth. He is uniquely God with divine capability. But you'll understand that if that's the physical, John is going to tell us as well about the spiritual. And I can borrow very liberally tonight from what you have heard already. Let me tell you that in John's gospel, John tells us that he came to bring peace. He says to his own, because they're in a storm and a nighttime on the sea, he comes to them on the water and he says, "Be not afraid." He steps in among them in John chapter 20. They've got the doors all barred because they are afraid. They are in enemy territory. Their enemies have just crucified their master. And they're barred behind the doors. And he steps in to their midst and he says, "Peace be unto you." He speaks to them further and again he says, "Peace be unto you." And the next Lord's Day, the same thing again. "Peace be unto you. He came to bring peace." I want you to know tonight that there's none but Jesus of Nazareth can bring peace to your heart. This can come from God alone. And the peace you long to know tonight can be found alone in our Lord Jesus. As our brother Dirksen was telling you about his interview with the man from whom he was with whom he was doing real estate work and settling for his home, I thought of a woman that my wife had the privilege of working with, actually. Without telling you all the story, there was a little notice came around in the community newsletter in our mailbox. So elderly woman wants someone to help her get dressed in the morning. My wife thought that would be a good occupation. Of course, she had a missionary motive in mind, and she went to meet this woman, and to her surprise, she went into a very exclusive retirement home. Have to have a $300,000 income to live there. Not in the past, in the present, $300,000. And she met Mrs. Saunders. Now, if you're a medical person in the meeting this evening, you may know the name Saunders because the Saunders Publishing Company is the company that publishes the standard medical volumes. That was her husband's company. Wealthy woman. She and my wife had a very enjoyable acquaintance, and my wife was with her until the time that she died, helping her. Mrs. Saunders, very early in their time together, said to my wife, "I have traveled all over the world. I have talked to lamas in various countries. I have consulted with religious leaders in all the parts of the world that I have visited, and I have gone to all those places because I've had the money to do it, to find one thing. I have traveled to find peace." And she said, "I can see by being with you that you have it. And I wish I knew how I could have it. All the money in this world can't buy it." Now, I happen to think my wife is a very unique and special person, but I want you to know tonight that the peace she has is the peace that everyone that knows the Lord Jesus has. John's gospel tells us not only about peace, but about salvation. This is the one that came into the world, that the world through him might be saved. He came to be the Savior of the world.
And when the Lord Jesus speaks to that woman in John chapter 8, and he says to her, neither do I condemn thee. You'll understand that being saved is being delivered from condemnation. Every one of us tonight, in our sins, resides under the condemnation of the righteous judgment of God. And there is only one possible way to be saved from condemnation. Only one possible way to know that you will never be condemned. And you can find that only from God Himself. It is the salvation that the Lord Jesus came to give. You'll understand as well that while the climactic miracle of John's gospel was the Lord Jesus giving life to a man who was dead and had been dead for 4 days, that what the gospel of John is telling us is this. He gave life at the beginning. He restored life when he was here. And there is no other source for eternal life but through the Lord Jesus Christ, which were born not of flesh, nor of the will of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Every person who was born again, and you can't be in heaven without being born again, every person who has eternal life receives eternal life from God by faith. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. These are blessings that can come alone from God. But John's Gospel tells us of a unique capability, a unique work. And I have, I think, already established for you the very clear truth of the Word of God. That what he did in the physical realm was the finger of God. Nothing's impossible with God. Why, you know, it's thrilling to know a God who can stand by a grave and simply say, Lazarus, come forth. And out of the grave clothes, out of the grave, comes Lazarus. No trouble to him, just speak. But let me tell you tonight about the cost of the spiritual blessings. There is no other possible source of spiritual blessing but God. And I want you to know tonight that the omnipotent God could not provide eternal blessings for man. Simply by willing to do so, it required the greatest undertaking of the Godhead eternally. I need to explain that, but I love to tell you the story tonight that in order for God to give to men eternal life, in order for God to speak peace to the troubled hearts of men and women, and in order for God to save men from condemnation, God must give His Son, and the Lord Jesus Christ must be the Lamb of God, sin bearer for the world. There is no other way that there can be blessing for your soul tonight. What we have been reminded about from Ephesians chapter 1, the heritage of everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ, all of that is possible only on the basis of the precious blood of Christ. And God in heaven has no other way to provide blessings. You know, there are people that think if you just pray, God just sweeps your sins under the carpet because He wants to. That God's a good God and He's kind, and therefore God just sweeps sin away and says, all right, we'll forget about that. I do want you to know tonight that God must act justly. And it is not just for a God who condemns us in our sins, and He has, all the world guilty before God. It is not just for a God who has pronounced the world guilty to allow that world to have absolutely no consequence for its sin. But the marvelous grace of God has devised this plan. From heaven He sent His beloved Son, that He might be the Lamb, the sacrifice to die upon a rugged cross outside Jerusalem's walls. That in suffering and agony upon that cross, He might answer to God for sins. And Christ also hath once for all suffered for sins. The just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And the only possible way for sins to be removed is by the penalty being called for from the Lord Jesus himself. And he suffered and he died upon the cross. And his precious blood is the tremendous cost that was paid that God might offer to you and to me eternal salvation from our sins. Oh, my soul in the meeting tonight, let me point you away to Calvary and tell you that upon that rugged cross, God's eternal Son was pouring out his life voluntarily and in love for your soul. For there was no other way to take you to heaven with him. No other way to speak peace to your soul. No other way to deliver you from condemnation, to save you eternally. Is it any wonder tonight we love to preach the gospel? And to tell you that we are going to heaven because the Lord Jesus loved us and went to Calvary to suffer and die for our sins. To tell you that we'll never be in hell, although we deserve to be there. Because in wondrous love, God gave his Son to bear my judgment, to pay the penalty for me. And I am free tonight, simply because Jesus died for me. But let me point out to you from John's Gospel something about the unique way in which God brings blessing. I cannot take the opportunity tonight to show you in every case, but you could find it if you looked. Of all those miracles that the Lord Jesus did, every one of them came at the time of human extremity. Now, I need to be very clear about something tonight. I have tried to emphasize, and you have been reminded from the beginning of the meeting, that salvation is by faith. I want you to know salvation is not on the basis of believing that God exists. Salvation is not upon the basis of believing that Jesus was a miracle worker. Salvation is not on the basis of believing that Jesus was a man who suffered as a martyr upon the cross. And salvation is not on the basis of believing that he was the Lamb of God who went to the cross as a sacrifice for sins. I believed that all my life. Salvation, eternal life, peace, forgiveness of which we have been reminded, all of that comes at a moment. It is a crisis moment in a person's life when they finally face the reality of their own despair and hopelessness. And at that moment, they trust the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith, they receive these eternal blessings. And if you were to trace the miracles in John's Gospel, you'll see very clearly. And the easiest to illustrate with is the story I have told already about Lazarus in the tomb and the sisters despairing that there's any hope for that brother of theirs. 4 days dead. And Martha said to the Lord Jesus, no point in going out to the grave, Lord. He's been dead 4 days and he already started the corruption. You might as well just forget this. The story that we read in John chapter 4 is the story of human extremity. There's a man and he says to the Lord Jesus, come down ere my child die. You're going to have to stand beside my son and then do whatever you can do and he'll be all right. And the Lord Jesus says, now listen, are you looking for something that you can see? Are you looking for something that you can feel? Except ye see signs and feel wonders. I added the words, but the emphasis is in the passage. Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Believing, as far as you're concerned, is based on seeing. Believing is based on feeling. And the man says, okay, then I don't care about seeing, and I don't care about feeling. My son is dying. Just come down, or my son will die. Human extremity. Not a thing I can do. I must have divine blessing and I cannot produce it. Would to God, oh, this is the prayer of every believer's heart in this meeting tonight. Would to God there were some soul in this meeting that were brought to this place of human extremity to be brought to acknowledge in the presence of God, oh God, I must have salvation and I can't get it. I need to be delivered from my sins and I don't know how to do it. And the Lord Jesus said to him,
Go thy way. Thy son liveth. Not only does God bring men and women to human extremity, that there might be the divine opportunity, but I want to close by pointing out to you a unique word. He gives this blessing by His word. You're with me in the story? And the man is there, and I can see the anguish on his face. Come down here, my child, die! And the Lord Jesus says, go thy way, thy son liveth. Now you tell me, if the man that said that was God, is that boy living? Is there the slightest possibility that God can speak and give His word, thy son liveth, and the boy die at the other end 40 kilometers away? Is it possible? If it were you or me, it's possible. It's likely. If it is God, it is impossible. This is the word of God. Go thy way, thy son liveth. And that man did the only thing that was reasonable. Did you hear me? Believing God's word is the only thing that is reasonable. He believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him. And he went his way. Now I want you to know tonight that the man didn't understand everything. He didn't know how it would happen. When he got home, he said, I guess he started to get better just sometime. Did he? They said, start to get better, nothing. It was just at that moment he was fine. What moment? About the 11th hour. Oh, said the man, that's when Jesus said it. He didn't understand how it happened, but he just knew that the Lord Jesus told him. And I cannot explain to you everything about salvation, but I can tell you this, the moment you take the word of God, you will have everlasting life. The moment you receive the good news about Calvary, that upon that cross, the Lord Jesus finished the mighty work, at that moment, you will have everlasting life. Verily, verily, I think it's amazing that the Lord Jesus repeats the word, just in case you would feel you need more assurance than this. If He says it's true, one time will be enough, but He says, I'm going to tell you just again, so you will understand it's established, unchangeable. It is true, it is true. I'm speaking to you. He that heareth my word, and says, God is true, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation. The judgment is past, because the condemnation was borne at Calvary by the Lord Jesus, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I couldn't make it simpler, because that's just as simple as the Word of God makes it. It is taking God's Word. And the moment you take what God is telling you tonight, it's not the preachers that count tonight. We are thrilled to be able to tell you what God says, but the important thing is this is what God says. And in all your need and hopelessness, if you will just believe God's word, if God says it, it's true. Let me repeat for you the words of the Lord Jesus again. It is true. It is true. I'm speaking to you. He that heareth my word and believes God that sent me hath everlasting life. Doesn't promise you'll feel you have everlasting life, but He promises you you will have it. And shall not come into condemnation. Christ's suffering at Calvary answers for that. But is passed from death unto life. God grant in the auditorium from every side of this gathering, there may be souls that will just say yes to God. and take God's word for what it says and leave this meeting tonight with every spiritual blessing purchased by the precious blood of Christ, yours through the word of the unerring Savior. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank Thee tonight for the richness that is ours in our Lord Jesus. We are enjoying the unsearchable riches of Christ, and we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich eternally, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. We thank Thee tonight for Calvary. Oh, if only we could tell men and women the story of Calvary as it ought to be told. If we could exalt the Savior who suffered and died and finished that mighty work as He deserves to be exalted. But we pray that Thou wilt bless Thy word, honor Thy Son, draw lost souls in our meeting tonight to this Savior. And God grant that before this meeting is concluded with the final notes of a hymn, there will be souls who will take God's word, look for nothing more, and leave with the assurance that they have everlasting life. We ask Thy blessing for the sake of men and women who are perishing and will be lost without the Savior, lost forever. And we ask it for the sake of the Savior who suffered and died, that they might be in heaven. Glorify Him, we ask in His precious name.